Well, it's a pleasure to be here to share some of our early successes that we've had with CTG, and we also benefited from some carryover from the communities putting prevention to work with CDC that we also had. But, you know, consistent with the CTG focus on promoting lasting impact that, you know, remains after the grant funds and things are gone away, we're going to talk about, you know, three sort of institutions of higher learning in Austin that we've been working with on tobacco-free campus policies. So again, I have no relationships to disclose. The first one I want to talk about is Houston-Tillotson University. And this is, it has 850 students, 150 faculty and staff. It's a historically black college and university, 79% African American, 11% Hispanic. It's a 23-acre campus, fully enclosed, located on one site in East Austin, very sort of a prime site in the East Austin community. It's also a leader in the community and in the African American community in particular, and so has a lot of influence on the community. I have to mention, when I first visited to talk to them about this campus policy, the first thing that greeted me as you go to the guardhouse going into the university was the guard was smoking, and it was really very prominent, you know, a lot of smoke coming into the your car as you're driving into this. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. But so some of the initial steps and the initiative at Houston-Tillotson was really faculty-led. And we were provided some funding to Dr. Deborah Murphy, one of the faculty at Houston-Tillotson. And so she was working, you know, first she did a campus-wide survey. They distributed it with peer health educators among the students to the students. Also did an anonymous online survey to faculty and staff. What they found is 70% of the students, 88% of the faculty favored a tobacco-free campus at the start. And they started committee meetings. They used their environmental health and safety committee, which was mostly faculty and staff, had one student representative. But, you know, they were meeting to discuss implementation of a policy and what the recommendations were. Did a lot of community outreach and campus outreach, numerous events. What they were trying to do is increase awareness of the burden of tobacco on the community, particularly in the African American community. But, you know, we've done a lot of focus group testing, and even though the messages have been out there, there are so many things. People don't understand that tobacco is still the number one preventable killer in the community. And then also increasing awareness that cessation resources are available. And so, again, did a lot of outreach referring tobacco users for cessation. And so what they did is they made a recommendation, that committee drafted a policy, then they asked me to come to present to their president's council about some of that policy and their implementation. And so it really was sort of more of a top-down implementation. And here's the policy that they adopted. You probably can't read that, but let's see. What's great is it's in effect before, during, and after work hours, applies to all campus faculty, staff, students, and visitors, customers, vendors, clients, consultants, contractors, all other business members of committees, including board of directors. But smoking and tobacco use of any kind will be prohibited on all Houston-Tillotson University-owned and or leased locations, premises, all internal and external areas, including private space within residence halls and parking lots, all entrances and exits, and all company-owned and all leased vehicles. Additionally, policy will be in place at all company-sponsored events, both on our premises and at all external locations. Students, faculty, and staff who choose to use tobacco products must do so on their regularly scheduled breaks or meal periods and off property. No ashtrays permitted in any indoor or outdoor areas. And the other thing that we really liked was no tobacco-related advertising or sponsorship shall be permitted on university property, at university-sponsored events, or in publications produced by the university. So they really, you know, they were pretty comprehensive with their policy. They adopted it. So what they did, you know, they actually were, you know, they were really gung-ho to get this thing going. And so by the time the implementation, they actually did not have a big leeway beforehand where they said, oh, this policy is coming. They said, it's going into effect, and it was essentially almost immediately. So that was one thing. You know, they did form a committee to work on how the policy would be implemented. There was a campus and community outreach, and they did a press event, did a health fair. Actually, our deputy director, Shannon Jones, was at one of the speakers of the health fair. We had the president of the university announcing the policy, had a lot of media coverage. We had cessation services set up. The American Lung Association Freedom from Smoking classes were available on campus. They trained the campus nurse on the Freedom from Smoking training, so that provided some sustainability that they could keep the sessions going. They had 8 sessions with free, and they also had free nicotine replacement that was available to anyone who wanted to quit smoking. They sort of modified some of the classes to have shorter classes with more sessions to try to help students and faculty with scheduling. Offered separate classes for students and faculty, so that the students and faculty aren't quitting in the same sort of, might not want to see the faculty smoking or learning how to quit. Also had telephone quit line referrals available. Then we funded with the CTG and the permanent signage and paid for installing that. They did a follow-up survey, and 96% felt the policy was a positive change or was a neutral effect. So that it was really good support after implementation of the policy. And so here's just sort of a picture. This is the signage that we paid for. I mentioned to you when I first went in there, the guard station, had the guy was smoking. And so, this was at the guard station now, tobacco-free campus. And he was actually one of the guard, that guard that I saw that first day was one of the first who quit. And he actually had sort of a preview. He became one of the spokespeople and was very eloquent about quitting as a result of the policy. One of the things that he said, because he had a preview and knew it was coming before the formal announcement, but he, when we talked to him, he said he wanted to quit before the policy actually went into effect because he didn't want to be forced into it. He wanted to sort of choose on his own that he was going to take control of it and quit. And so that was one of the things that, in our lessons learned for the rest of the, campus, we wish they maybe had given a little more lead time before the actual implementation of the policy, because that time between announcement of the policy going into effect and when it actually goes into effect is a key time when many people will quit, when you can offer the cessation of services. And there is that element of people wanting to have control over it, not being forced into it once the policy goes into effect, but they feel that they're going to quit on their own before the tobacco-free campus policy goes into effect. The signage is really key. Because they did it so quickly, we didn't have all the signage in place immediately. So, it's hard to sometimes get the messages, but signage is great for enforcement, and I'll talk a little about that with some of the other examples of the sites. Safety was one issue that was at Houston-Tillotson. I know and that was one of the reasons they were concerned. They weren't sure how the President's Council meeting was going to go because there'd been some discussions and concerns that, it's an enclosed campus, but if they make it entirely tobacco-free, like if someone wanted to go smoke or use tobacco at 1 in the morning, they'd have to go off campus, and some of the surrounding neighborhoods might not be as safe. So they have been working and looking at, lighting, sidewalks, things like that. Outside visitors was an issue. They had a lot of construction going on campus, and so needed to be prepared to further educate, short-term visitors, other construction workers, people who may not be aware of the policy. And that's also why signage is important, to make sure people are aware. This was faculty-led. They did this particular committee. They had a harder time getting this committee meeting scheduled and followed up, so that was some lessons learned. Student ownership, if you do faculty-led, it still is important to try to get that student involvement, and so they were working on that. Now, one of the things, Houston-Tillotson was actually then our first university institution of higher learning in Central Texas to go entirely tobacco-free. After we made that announcement, then the very next day, Texas State, which is down in San Marcos, south of Austin, announced that they were going tobacco-free. But Houston-Tillotson, it was the third historically black college in the nation to go entirely tobacco-free. It's the largest one to go tobacco-free. But you know what we found with all of these also is success breeds success. And so each one of these, builds on each other. We start saying, if Houston-Tillotson can do it, then others can do it. Actually, what we used to say is, if University of Kentucky could do it, then anyone could do it. We started out, they were the first, and then so we moved on to the Austin Community College. And so Austin Community College, there's 45,100 credit-seeking students that go to Austin Community College, 15,000 non-credit students, 4,500 faculty and staff. It's on 8 campuses with 2 more in progress. It covers really 7,000 square mile service area over multiple counties. So this is a huge impact when you're looking at this. Also, there are 11 centers like, you know, offices, maintenance facilities, other settings. Again, this, if you look at this population, and these are, a community college, which that population has higher tobacco use rates and smoking rates than some of the other 4-year colleges. Yeah, okay. So some of the initial steps with Austin Community College. One of the things, again, success breeding success. One of the board members for ACC was actually an executive vice president for Capital Metro, our transportation authority, which we've been working on for smoke-free bus stops and tobacco-free facilities for them. And so he became a champion. He persuaded the board to look at this, got us to present to the ACC board. Then they adopted the policy. This was a top-down effort. The board just adopted it, said we're going to do it. The thing they did, they made it a smoke-free only policy. And so if you look at that, you know, so theirs was only prohibits the use and distribution of sale of smoking produced, but it's not all tobacco. They could get a unanimous win for smoking. They said they probably had the votes, but wouldn't have had it unanimous for tobacco-free. So that was one thing that, you know, we encourage it to be entirely tobacco-free, and that would be something that we've learned. They offer cessation seminars to employees. Signage is posted. Here's what their signs look like. You can see the campuses are really widespread. This is just one campus, and it covers a lot of area when these are tobacco-free campus. The timeline of implementation, again, they said they made very quick implementation from the date that it was going into effect. It was, I think it was like in November they made an announcement, and they were going to have it effect in January. So with the holidays and things, there wasn't as much time to get the word out, but still, and then it was only smoke-free policy. And so finally, I want to talk about the University of Texas. So this University of Texas, if you've been to Austin, this is our flagship University of the UT system, 51,000 students, 24,000 faculty and staff, diverse campus. I think there's over students from every single state, over 100 countries are represented at UT, 350-acre campus spread out, including off-campus housing, has over 450,000 alumni. And so we started out working with the students on sort of a student, and they developed a student government resolution. But what they did, they actually said they want to ask the administration to plan and adopt a policy to make UT Austin campus 100% tobacco-free within 7 years. So we weren't real, you know, they said, okay, got things started, 7 years. But so in the meantime, they would be all gone, so it didn't affect them. We worked with the students. We were working with the School of Public Health, their public health club. They did a student survey, did stakeholder meetings, campus outreach, cessation services. We were doing a lot of, sort of groundwork. But what happened is then, and this was sort of the media covering, that they approved a 7-year plan. What happened then is Cancer Prevention Research Institute of Texas, is this group in Texas that provides a lot of grant funding. They adopted a policy that anyone who received their funds had to have essentially a tobacco-free area in the facilities where they're working on the grant. Now, technically, there are loopholes that you could get around with that you could just make separate buildings tobacco-free. But we had enough support, ground-level support already laid, that they held the line and made it for the entire tobacco-free campus to be tobacco-free. And so you can see it's entirely tobacco-free. They made a provision that there are some designated smoking areas until February 28, temporary designated smoking areas until February 28, 2013, and then March 1st, it goes entirely tobacco-free campus. So we're very excited about that. They're going to be phasing out the designated smoking areas. Here's what the signs look like. Here you can see some of the signs put up around the campus. Some of the challenges, it's a huge campus, diversity, spread of the campus. It was hard to get some of the high-level administrative support. I think what we heard, the president is actually a smoker, so he wasn't supportive. But, I think the money certainly helped drive things. But we also have always felt that you have to treat these campaigns almost like a political campaign and be ready to be nimble, to be able to respond to whatever happens. And so when CPRIT adopted their policy on the funding, we were really had the groundwork laid so that that we could adopt and get the full Tobacco Free Campus policy. You know, general lessons learned, support from the top is the most effective, but you need to involve students, faculty, other influential groups in implementation. So they, in the implementation, not in the decision to adopt the policy, but once they decided to go forward with it, they involved the police department, they involved the parking people, they involved the people that, with the stadium and with the large events planning groups. So they need to be involved in how they were going to actually implement this. And then, you know, include supporting resources and communication before, during, and after. As I've said, you know, consider the academic schedule to get make sure that you can get the word out early enough. Look at how you can get survey participation among students and faculty. We strongly urge tobacco-free rather than smoke-free. There are some sessions on dual use. You know, if you start allowing just smoke-free, people will keep continuing with the spit tobacco or something. They'll keep the addiction. You know, if you adopt a full tobacco-free campus, then that's what we strongly recommend. The signage is key to enforcement and to help people to know that the policies. And you might need multiple types of signage. We found, you know, they might need stickers and things for alleyways, different types of things to get the word out. And so the last thing that we're just doing is we are using a report card now that I think was developed by the California Youth California Youth Advocacy Network to assess other universities' educational settings on how their tobacco use status is and use that for future policies. So here's our contact information. And, you know, again, in conclusion, we're really excited about Tobacco Free Campuses because it's an enduring policy. By 4 years, that's all the students will ever know. And so it's been very exciting, and it builds on other successes in our community.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wong.